How has pop American Christianity replaced the Holy Trinity with the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Has American Christianity Failed? It's written by regular guest Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Has American Christianity Failed? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Has American Christianity Failed?
Tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. It is the supreme virtue among all other virtues. And if you think about it, it makes sense. If you don't believe that there's truth, then you have to be able to tolerate anybody and everybody who believes something differently than you.
Why doesn't the devil tempt people to swear by using the word Allah? Why would he waste his time on an idol? Allah doesn't exist, but Jesus Christ does.
No one goes to hell because we were bad at evangelism. No one goes to hell because we didn't tell them about Jesus. All of the elect will be in heaven. And no one goes to heaven either because of our efforts.
This is John in Michigan, and as a Lutheran high school teacher, I love listening to and using Issues Etc. in my classroom.
The age range here is from 33 up to 59. That's a pretty big range of ages. And the religious groups that are covered here range from the Presbyterian Church in America, one of those mainline Protestant denominations, with a median age of 59 for its adherents, all the way down to, and again, these are also non-Christian groups, the Hindus in America, whose median age is 33. But down there, too, at 33 and 34, Muslims, atheists, agnostics, Buddhists, nothing in particular. We're going to be talking about a new survey from the Pew Research Center that lists the median age of religious groups in the United States. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Tuesday afternoon, the 30th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Mark Wood will be our guest to kick it off with this conversation. A little later, Suzanne Venker, author of The Flip Side of Feminism and a recent column for Fox News titled A Letter to My Breadwinning Husband. We'll talk about motherhood, feminism, and working husbands. And then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on the 12 spies in Canaan in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. If you'd like to join us with a question or a comment, our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, at issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Mark Wood is a regular guest and director of LCMS Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He joins us to talk about a recent survey on the age demographics of religious groups in America. Mark, welcome back.
Oh, thanks. Good to be back.
You kind of get paid to watch stuff like this and then to try and figure out what, if anything, it means. What struck you first looking at this Pew research on the median age of religious groups in America?
Well, these statistics don't surprise me. I've been exposed to them a number of occasions, different studies. It basically tells us that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is an aging church body, our median age being 56, which puts us right at the top of denominations or religious bodies in America that are aged. And I don't think that surprises anybody who looks around to see what's going on. Probably a little bit more telling in this particular study is, where are the young people? And they're in these non-Christian religions, and very prominently so.
So, first of all, my initial reaction to seeing a median age of about 56 for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, our denomination, is to say, well, that's to be expected, and people my age need Jesus too, so it's not as though it necessarily says something negative about the church body. How do you explain that? Is it part of a trend of the aging of America in general as well?
Well, certainly that's an impact here, that the median age of our country is increasing. It also reflects the natural progression of when our growth was and where we are today. We had a large period of growth in the 30s, 40s, 50s. Now we're seeing the aging of the people, particularly the children of those people, as they reach adulthood and in late stages of life. You know, that just shows us that there's work to be done, and maybe we've rested on our laurels a little bit in terms of reaching people who are outside of the the normal sphere of influence of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
A couple other things occur to me, Mark. First of which is, I'm looking at these groups that are down with the lower median ages, and in particular talking here about Muslims and Mormons, groups that tend to have larger families, more children. Could that be part of it?
That certainly is a part of it. And, the interesting thing is, if you look, you'll see the Mormons in this list, and they're kind of in the middle of the row. They're at 43 as their median age. And, we always consider Mormons of having large families. So it's not simply large families, but it certainly becomes a factor in, especially as we look at where are young people who are having children, where are they already associating, where are they already gathered. So.
What do you think is attracting, we talked a little bit yesterday about the nuns, what do you think is attracting young people in disproportionate numbers to non-Christian religions, even to atheism and agnosticism?
Well, part of that is the social trend of kind of going away from organized religion, as they like to put it, more and more. So that gets you to your nuns and your agnostics. Part of it, too, is the influx of immigrants who are bringing new religions into America. And Americans on the whole have this sort of fascination with novelty. You know, something new comes along that they want to take a look at it. We also can't discount the rather intentional efforts in our culture to sway people away from Christianity into these other religious systems, especially those that are viewed as being very tolerant. To tolerant Americans, being a Buddhist is a live and let live attitude. Is far more appealing than a Christian denomination that is going to insist on a confession of truth that is not so tolerant. So.
What does this say about, I think in kind of just the nuts and bolts terms of the future of church, something like church finances. If I'm a pastor of a medium-sized congregation, I can look out and see the congregation I serve is not typical in this sense. It tends to be evenly distributed over all of the ages. It's very unusual. But if I look out at a typical congregation, I see a median age of 56. I'm thinking, where's the budget 10 years from now going to be coming from?
Well, having an aging church body presents a number of challenges like that. I think in the near term, we see people of the generation that is aging and coming to the end of their lives as people who have been very faithful givers and have made plans to give even in their deaths, giving money to the church and foundations and endowments. And I think that in for the immediate near future, that's actually a positive. But, of course, there's only so many of those people, and what's going to happen down the line? But, Todd, I think another way of looking at this is saying, while we're an aging church body, 30% of our church body is in this 65 and older range. You say, wow, that's alarming. But it's also a wonderful gift. But what that means to us is that we do have people in this age group who are very experienced in life and in the world. They're bringing a wealth of knowledge and wisdom. They are good and faithful givers in supporting the mission of the church, far more so than young people. Young people are very typically not in a position to support the work of the church financially as older people are. They don't have the life experience. They're very consumed with raising their families. So if we look at this, in a positive perspective, we say we have a lot of people who are ready, able, and to be engaged in the mission of bringing the gospel to the new generations in America. We just need to tap into that wonderful gift that God has given our church body.
Does it also mean that I'm sure that these things go in pendulum cycles, but it does also mean that a young pastor coming out into his first parish is going to have an age gap with most of his parishioners. He and his wife might even be among the youngest adult members of the congregation.
That is sometimes the case, and that can provides a number of challenges and a number of opportunities. And a lot of it depends on the attitude of that young pastor. Who is he willing to learn from the people that have gathered there, who are older and more experienced and wiser, and use that learning from them as a way to better be able to serve them? And also, does he see the opportunity to connect that generation with his generation? There's a tremendous value in connecting the older generation with the younger generation and allowing them to serve each other.
So finally, if you were explaining these numbers, or at least trying to give some of your thoughts on these numbers to a group of pastors and lay people, mixed crowd here, how would you summarize them, and what would you say the most important takeaway is?
Well, I would summarize by saying we're obviously an aging church body, but we're a church body that has been crafted by the Lord of the church, and we need to take stock of the shape of the body and then understand our mission in light of the shape of the body. If we're an aging church body, well, what does that mean? That means we need to find a way to engage people who are older in the mission of the church. We obviously also need to be considering, how do we reach a generation that we have not reached yet, and give some serious thought and consideration to that. So it's both challenges and opportunities in these numbers.
Pastor Mark Wood is director of LCMS Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You'll find a link to LCMS Witness and Outreach under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Mark, thank you very much.
That's a pleasure.
On the other side of the break, Suzanne Venker is going to join us. She's a regular guest. We often talk with her about motherhood and feminism. She has written a very interesting, I think, compelling piece for Fox News, a column titled A Letter to My Breadwinner Husband. She also has a forthcoming book, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage. We'll talk to her about her working husband right after this.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
So neither sacraments, by the way, of ghost bumps or fruit checking, they don't provide any assurance of your salvation.
Pastor Chris Rosebro, host of Fighting for the Faith, speaking at this year's Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference.
Instead, they keep the gospel in the abstract, and they create obstacles for someone to say that Jesus died for me. They create obstacles for people to believe that Jesus has forgiven me, that Jesus loves me, that Jesus has had mercy on me.
You can listen to Pastor Rosebro's presentation, Making the Case for the Means of Grace, on an audio DVD of the 2016 Making the Case Conference. This audio DVD contains more than 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues, Etc. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.